This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
You are listening to The Arenality on ORFM.
Kia ora everyone, welcome back to The Arenality, a show on the cultural identities of women in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Hope everyone's been having a good week. I have definitely been on and off, just in terms of my motivation in general, because, unfortunately, I have had the winter flu, like most people down here in the South Island. And I have done a lot of bed rotting just to rest and recover from the sickness. And so because of that, I've been watching a lot of movies. So today, we're going to talk about It Ends With Us. And I know that I'm quite late on the train. But I think there's a lot we can talk about here, especially after everyone's had done their reflections, like early this year or late last year. But if you don't know, It Ends With Us is a movie, a romance drama, actually, based on a book, Colleen Hoover's book. And if you're on book talk, if you're on, you know, if you're reading romance books in general, this is one of the books that people have been reading a lot. And there's been a lot of, you know, war on TikTok about Colleen Hoover's stories. I have read a few of her books and I also read this book. And I think there's a lot we can talk about here. Especially because I read the book before I watched the movie, and I don't usually do that. And so, in terms of talking about the film, I think it was a good adaptation of the book. Just watching the film and then thinking about how close it was with how I imagined the book to be, I think there's a lot there that we can talk about. But before we go on, I might make a disclaimer as well, because It Ends With Us is actually about domestic violence, breaking the cycle with, you know, generational cycles of abuse, and also trusting other people and finding love again. So that is actually what the story is about, which is why, you know, there has been a lot of drama in terms of the co-stars and also the interviews that Blake Lively did on about the movie. It was, you know, it started because she wasn't as sensitive about the topic when she had interviews with other people about what the story is really about. But, you know, outside of all the drama, the story itself is still something that's worth watching, because I think it gives people a bit of differences and perspective on how, you know, how unsafe love can exist in relationships and also in the people closest to you. So, yeah, just like, you know, avoiding all of that, I think it's still worth watching, especially now because it's on other streaming platforms. So you don't have to go to the cinema for it. And I find that the movie actually brought out more of the heaviness of the story that can't be shown in the books, especially like the visual aspects of what actually happened. I think that's a really important thing to share, to showcase on film. But yeah, because this episode might be a sensitive one, and if you do need to take breaks or come back, I would highly suggest that, especially with the topic that we're going to talk about today. But I'm still feeling the little remnants of anxiety after watching this movie. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I watched it. But I feel like it has changed me in some ways as well, because now there were lots of scenes that kind of scarred me in a way that made me think about, you know, this is actually something that happens to people on a daily basis. This is someone's reality, even though, you know, what we're watching here, it's a story, but it's about something that's very real that happens in our community. So, you know, I do understand that domestic violence and media can be quite scary and confronting to look at or to watch. But I think, you know, there's a lot there that we can unpack. And also, I think what I do want to talk about today is around how do we reflect on our own boundaries so that we can make it safe for ourselves to, you know, be able to be informed with the important things that's happening in this world, you know, the reality, the real tough stuff that's happening in the world, but while also protecting ourselves so that we don't get too involved or too scared to the point where the world is scary, so you don't want to do anything. But just reflecting on the film, I think there's a lot to learn there. What I really like was Lily, who is the main character, her relationship with her co-worker, who is also her best friend, who is also the sister of the guy she was dating. And, you know, what she said was, you know, as when her best friend found out that Lily became a victim of abuse in the relationship, she said that, you know, as a sister to Atlas, I would say, please forgive him. But as your best friend, I would say, please leave him and do not come back. Otherwise, I'll never talk to you. And I think that says a lot about how important it is to have female friendships that is able to be your safe space. And just in general, people you trust who you can open up to, you know, whether or not it is what you think is a serious matter or if it's not a serious matter. I think having some outside perspectives is really important. And that has happened a lot in this film, because when Lily was in denial of what happened, and so when Lily was in denial with what happened, she kept telling the people around her that it's not what it looks like, when other people could really see the obvious signs of abuse. And I think that's a really important point to bring up, because sometimes, you know, you actually need community, the people outside of your circle, to point out the obvious that you need help and you're not in a safe space. And I think that's one of the most important things I got from the film. And I think I quite treasure the relationship they had, because it wasn't just about the toxic relationship. It was also about, you know, trusting someone enough to be able to tell them about confide in them about your relationship, and working out the next steps. And so just coming back to how we can reflect on this in our daily lives. Breaking harmful cycles isn't just about leaving an abusive relationship. It can also be about, you know, walking away from friendships that constantly drain you or family members who might create unsafe situations for you. It's also about choosing not to repeat any family patterns that you grew up with. And I know that in this film, the most obvious family pattern that Lily experienced was actually seeing her own mother be a victim of abuse and knowing well that she does not want to be, to have her daughter be in the same position as well. And I think that's a pretty big one to stand up on, because, you know, after watching a movie, I would usually go on TikTok to see what other people are feeling about it. And, you know, because it just makes me feel like I'm, sometimes I do need more information, but also it just makes me feel like I'm watching the film with other people and I get to hear their thoughts as well. But a lot of people on TikTok were actually saying that when Aral, who was the abusive partner, was apologizing to Lily, asking her to come home, and a lot of people actually said that he really looked sorry, and a lot of us might actually fall for that, and we might actually go home with them again, and so the cycle continues. So that's a very interesting point as well, because the circle of being in that toxic environment, that loop, that where the abuse happens and then you go, the abuse happens and then they say sorry, and then you come back to them and it just keeps happening again and again. I think that's something that we have to think about, because it's so easy to say, you know, just leave them to someone who is experiencing domestic violence, but we'll never really know how difficult it is to leave unless you are in their shoes. And just generally saying just leave them is such an easy way to say it, but it's quite unsafe for a lot of people in those kinds of relationships. So yeah, coming back to how this can be applied to your own lives, outside of, you know, as leaving a toxic relationship in general, it can be also about breaking your own cycle of self-criticism, or being too hard on yourself or anything like that. If you know that you have, you know, something, a problem that just keeps happening, you might have a cycle that you are a part of, which is very important for you to have a look on how you can escape the pattern. And so breaking a cycle isn't just one big moment. It's actually a lot of small, small choices that you have to make in order to not repeat the same mistakes that you've been doing again and again. If we come back to the film, you know, the big moment where Lily actually broke the cycle was when she ran away from her house and went to the hospital and then get tests done. And she went with her old childhood friend, Atlas. So that was a very big moment, because it meant her actually going to somewhere that's safe. But for a lot of people, they don't have that safe space. I'm actually quite surprised that Ryle didn't you know, try to find her, or he was sending messages to Lily, but there wasn't that scene where Ryle was stalking her or trying to find her in the neighborhood or anything. So I just personally didn't think that was quite accurate to how a person who might be experiencing a toxic relationship might be feeling. Because to Lily, it just looked like she felt quite safe in the homes of Atlas. But outside of that, there were other parts where she constantly chose herself over the relationship, which is very important. It was difficult for Lily because she had a child with Ryle, who she was trying to leave. And, you know, with Ryle's constant apologizing, some of us actually believed that he was trying to change. And we would fall into that cycle again. But when Lily said no, I think that was a very powerful moment, as well as towards the end when she asked for a divorce. And so, yeah, this film really made me think of how strong she was. And while I was watching, I was reflecting on what I would do as a character and as all the other TikTokers on Book Talk who were talking about the book and also the film. It's, yeah, unfortunately, we would fall for the apologies of the toxic partner, which makes the story quite inaccurate in some ways, but it's quite motivating to know that, you know, there was a part where I felt quite, I don't know the right word for it, but like cognitive dissonance, because I feel like I was going to do something else, but then the character actually did something completely opposite, and so it really made me think of my own choices and how I would think things. So yeah, I have definitely been thinking a lot about this, and we are in a time where it's kind of crazy out there, and there's a lot going on, but how do we care for our well-being when the world feels heavy? And that has been something that I've been sort of thinking about after watching the movie, just trying to bring myself back to reality, but not the type of reality that is too real as well. Trying to find that balance between a sustainable amount of reality so that I can still have hope in this life. Yeah, something I will not do anymore is bed rotting. I had to do that a lot while I was unwell because I needed to get better. But if I don't spend too much time on scrolling or even just watching a movie 2 hours straight, I would actually have better things to be doing other than, you know, filling myself with despair. But if you're someone who likes watching news, I would suggest having breaks and coming back to the world that you want to be part of. So, for example, by balancing awareness with action. And I think this is an important one. If you feel like there is a cause or something that's happening in the world that is affecting you emotionally in any way, it's probably a good thing that you care. So don't take that away. It's a really good thing that you care, because a lot of people don't care. So tying that with actual action by, you know, donating or volunteering for the cause or sharing resources online or on social media, I think that's a really good way to channel your anxiety to something more fruitful. And, you know, do what you can. You don't have to do everything. If it is not accessible for you to be doing, you know, rallies or protesting or anything like that, I think just focus on what you can do. And always come back to grounding rituals, coming back to you, yourself, and what's important to you. That's going to help you to just remember what's important in life and why it is important for you to be whole, so that you can talk about the most important things. 'Cause if you don't have a full cup, or if you are working with an empty cup, it's kind of difficult for you to do anything. So that's a really good one to think about. Yeah, so if you haven't watched It Ends With Us, I would recommend that you do. If you like reading books, definitely read the book first before you watch it. But I would really suggest that you do, because I just learned a lot from the movie. And I'm quite excited to hear what you think of as well, from your perspective on how the characters and the storyline became. And, you know, I try my best to not give any spoilers, but because, which is why I think it's worth digging into the book and the film. So you can find out more about what actually happened in the film. I'll see you again next time. And thank you for listening to this week's episode.
You've been listening to The Arenality on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.